the puzzling.
Good morning. Happy Saturday morning to you. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger. Good morning, Beth. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Saturday, Rob Hall.
Happy Saturday to you. What's happening these days down in Monterey? A lot is happening, actually, down in Monterey. Before we get to that, great show today.
Some stunning women will be on our guests.
Some stunning women will be our guests today. And not only that, but some good stuff for summer. You know, it's coming to that slower time of summer. You're going to have some extra time maybe to interact with your kids. It's not so much about school all the time. And you might be looking for a good book to read. And so we got both of those topics covered today. Nicole Odell is going to be with us in the second segment right after the first commercial break. And she's got this thing called Hot Topics, a way to interact with your teenage girls, I think, about some hot topics that might be, banterable. Is that a word, banterable?
I think
with
it
your,
is.
And with your kids?
And you know what? I have three sons, and I've used these little books. I mean, only have about 150 pages. They're not big reads, but they give you lots of launching pads on ways to have conversations that are meaningful and of substance with your children.
Yep, and as I said, summer is right around the corner, so there's going to be that extra time to do that. You know, there's going to be hanging out time, not so quite as intense as during the school year. And then in our third segment, Diane Patterson. Man, I'm a little nervous. She's a Harvard MBA. I mean, she's a bigwig, and she's written a book called Work, Love, Pray, and it's about how moms can enter the workforce, kind of balance the roles of being moms and also being in the workforce. And husbands, you need to stick around and listen to this. I'm sure there's some ways that we as husbands can help that happen. So moms, dads, anybody can benefit from that. So good show. I mean, and great summer stuff as summer is just around the corner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think as a working mom, one of the biggest challenges is summer vacation. If you ever have a time of the year when you're wondering how to balance home life and work life, it's the summer. So you're right. These are very timely subjects for today.
Absolutely. So you just had a big thing happen in Monterey, and I don't want to let it go by without talking about it. We mentioned it before it was going to happen. To we English speakers, it was called the Summit. It was called the Cumbre in Monterey. Tell us, I mean, it was just amazing. It was crazy.
It was a God-sized dream, absolutely. That wasn't even mine to start with, so I don't want to take credit for that. But the big picture idea was that we would gather government officials and community leaders and pastors from all over the country and talk about how it is that children are being serviced here, marginalized children are being serviced in the country, and how can the church stand up and take responsibility for it? How can they become the solution? Not the solution from the north, not the solution from the government, but the church themselves be the solution. And one of my favorite things that happened is that we flew in all these very fancy pants American speakers to come in. And
did have a loaded docket. That was pretty impressive.
But the moment of the whole weekend came from the mouth of some kids that grew up as orphans in this city, and then we put through college, and then they shared their testimony. And I got up afterwards, and I said, I don't think anyone in the room will ever forget where they were when they heard this story and this testimony, because one young man literally drew a line with his finger in the air, and he said, here's the line, and I don't want one more child to fall off the cliff. And it was just like a spine-tingling moment, and It was beautiful, and at the end, it was a combination of both very inspirational and emotional, as well as very practical and lots of workshops. And so, you know, for those of us here on staff with Back to Back Ministries, in some ways it feels like the work is just beginning because we just involved hundreds of people in what we do here locally, but I think it will be, in the end, to the benefit of children all over the country.
Well, it's a topic, you know, we talk about it all the time, and we just had Audio A and Mark Schultz on talking about their work, so more in terms of what you do to really involve helping a child for their entire life, not just in relief, not just in an institution, but those guys talked about it, and now Back-to-Back in Monterey is really stepping it up by saying, hey, we are going to engage people here locally instead of just sending people from the United States to make a difference in the total life of orphans, not just by institutionalizing them.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have both been impacted by some of the authors we've had on, like the We Are Not Heroes author and the When Helping Hurts author. And, I mean, that is the movement Missions is taking. People are talking about how to get more local involvement, how to how to have more of an exchange, how to help within the context of a long-term relationship, how to be consistent. Like, all those things are the direction that missions are moving. And so this was just a way to kind of bring this country in this discussion here to Monterey. So it was very exciting. I slept like 6 hours in 3 days, and we were on the national television a couple times.
I saw that. And that's when you're at your best, by the way, when you've slept about 6 hours in 3 days. That's when you're at your finest.
One of our staff men walked out of the main conference room the other day, and he was very emotional, like teary. And he said, "Is this the way you women feel all the time, like up and down and up and down?" He's like, "I've cried more times in 2 days than I have in my whole life." He's like, just let me know if your gender does this all the time. I have more compassion for you.
All right, so on the lighter side, because we have to give our listening audience something to sort of imagine differently than perhaps they did before, something to start a conversation perhaps.
Yes, yes.
There's a judge in Michigan who did something quite interesting. He fined himself.
Yes.
He levied a fine against himself. Did you see this?
He held himself in contempt for court, yes, because Siri started to talk in his pocket. I love it.
So he had his phone in his pocket, his iPhone in his pocket, and somehow or another he pressed the little button there and Siri started to talk, right?
Uh-huh, and you can't have any voices from any phone coming out of a cell.
So he fined himself $25 for disrupting his own court. I love that.
I'm thinking to myself, that's the judge I want to, you know, make a decision about me and my issues, because he sees no gray. He is all black and white. That man is making decisions in light of the law, obviously, even to his own detriment.
Any judge who can fine himself has to have a decent sense of humor, I would imagine, and also is willing to just kind of, you know, roll with the punches in court. Who wouldn't want that kind of a judge?
And now with this kind of attention, he's guaranteeing his reelection, I'm quite certain.
Yep. If he's up for reelection, maybe someone will send him the 20. He probably couldn't accept the $25. It'd probably be considered a bribe.
Or he would consider it a bribe.
Oh, maybe he would. That's exactly right. He is above the ethical line there, I guess.
I finally got around to watching Lincoln last night. Movie, you know. I know.
That was like 4 months ago.
Okay, well, anyway, it's inspired a good conversation that the judge $25 thing kind of rolled all into it about how to be people of principle. I really liked that Lincoln, again, was a man of principle. I missed that in our current administration. I'm just going to say.
Now, it's interesting that you would say that.
I know, right? I know what he did. I know. But
so I'm not necessarily disagreeing. But he had a principle that he believed in. But the way that he got that principle to actually go through was, you know,
smart,
pretty
thoughtful,
pretty political, right?
He was a lawyer. He was thinking.
That's right. Some who might be a little more jaded might say he manipulated it so that it would work that way.
Okay, well, anyway, it's a great movie. I mean, my children had a little trouble sitting through the whole thing, but I, on the other hand, I kept Googling things in the middle of it.
I did like the movie.
And it was a good, I mean, I had my computer in my lap, and I kept looking up things about his child that died. Like, I found out he died of typhoid fever, and, like, it kept making me hungry for historical information.
You were too screening it, huh?
I was always.
Yeah, and so I'm assuming you actually watched this in your house. You didn't actually go to the theater and hook up the computer so you could do some research.
Well, it hasn't been in the theater in, like, 4 months, so now it's out on DVD. And listeners,
imagined our listeners going, wait a minute, she went to see Lincoln, and she took her computer? What? No, so I figured that in Monterey, you probably just put the DVD in or something.
I did.
You did. All right. Well, hey, we got about a minute left, and we need to remind people, we got a good show. I mean, we got some things happening that are really going to perhaps inform their summer as they get ready for sort of a slower time of year. And we've got a couple of authors who are going to help us do that. In the next segment, Nicole Odell is going to be here, and she's got a series of books out called Hot Topics, a way to engage your kids in some of the more controversial things that they may be talking about. And then after that, Diane Patterson is going to be here. Her new book, Work, Love, Pray, is going to be talking about women in the workforce and how to balance sort of both of those things, being a mom and being a professional. So it should be a good show.
I'm excited. Looking forward to it. See you after the break.
All right. Don't go anywhere. This is Real Talk with Rob and Beth, and we'll be back right after this.
This past summer, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to India, where I met a little girl named Shailaja from an orphanage with back-to-back. She was a new child at the home and was having a hard time adjusting. As I began playing with her and painting her nails, I was reminded that this little girl was just like my sisters back at home in the United States. Instead of a face on a photo, she became a part of my family when I realized that I could continue to help her through back-to-back's child sponsorship program. Even though she lives over 8,000 miles away, through the back-to-back sponsorship program, I can ensure that her spiritual, physical, educational, emotional, and social needs are met. The best part about the program is when I come home from school and find a letter from Shailaja. I am so thankful for God working within both of our hearts in order to lead us closer to each other and closer to Him. Visit www.backtoback.org for more information.
Beth and Rob, hope you're having a great Saturday morning. This Saturday morning, hope it's beautiful wherever you are. Spring has sprung finally. It's almost summertime. Things are feeling good here. I know, Beth, you get that all the time in Monterey, but for us, the warmth up here in the Midwest is feeling pretty darn good.
No,
happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday to you. Are people driving out with their convertible tops down yet?
They are. They've been waiting for many, many months. We had people driving around with their convertible tops down when it was 45. They were just like, please, it's just so warm. Anyway, hey, we got a great show today, and our guest right now is Nicole O'Dell. And I'm always a little nervous when someone comes on the show that has their own radio show. Right? I'm like,
they,
man.
They
probably got a good show. And so she has her own radio show, Choose Now Radio, Parent Talk and Teen Talk, and she's the founder of Choose Now Ministries. And she's written this cool set of books called Hot Topics, hoping to engage parents and teenagers in sort of the, you know, things are different now, you know, so hot buttons, and there's like a dating edition, there's all these kind of editions, so that you can kind of get into these conversations with your kids. And so we are very excited to have Nicole on the show. Nicole, welcome. Happy Saturday to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and Beth, it's great to speak with you again. I've had the privilege of interviewing you before, so great to be here.
Absolutely. Welcome to Real Life with Beth and Rob. Yeah. Hey, I know I've already told you this before on offline conversations, but I have 9 children, and a bunch of them are teenagers, and I really like, and I know I see all your endorsements say, this series is the answer to the cry of my heart, and this is revolutionary to helping parents of teens. And will you just tell our listeners a little bit about where your inspiration came for Hot Buttons, and kind of why has it hit such a nerve with those of us who are trying to raise teenagers?
Sure, I'd love to. It's really, I hate to admit this, but it was born out of fear. And it's a really poor place to say that a book series and a strategy for parents was born from that place. But as a parent, looking back over my teen years, I was nervous about what my kids were going to face when they went to their schools and the peer pressure and the temptation and how things are just ramped up so much now and so much younger, how young kids are facing things that, you know, I maybe was a sophomore or junior in high school before I ever experienced or encountered, and kids are 12 and 13 when they're seeing these things or younger. Mm-hmm. And I started this with my kids. I devised this little system where we'd be having dinner, driving in the car, doing something casual, and I'd throw out this fictional scenario and just sort of plop them right into the heart of a peer pressure-filled situation, and then I gave them 4 choices that how they might respond in that situation, and then just let them think about it and make a choice, and then I'd follow it up with discussion. And the coolest part was seeing that, knowing it was a fictional situation, they would test me and try out different answers and say, well, I know you probably want me to say B, but I probably would do C, and here's why. Mm. And then we would talk about it, and it really gave me insight into how they think and gave me the opportunity to lay some really good groundwork. And as I saw that over the years, we did it. I did it with all of my kids. I have 6, but 3 of them are too little still. But, I did it with my older kids, and they continually came back to me and said, that exact situation happened, and I knew what to do because I was prepared. So that's where this came from.
Nicole, you brought up a really great point just right there. You said you have six kids. Three of them are not yet old enough. And so, again, as a dad of teenagers, as parents of teenagers, we might, like, oh, my gosh, we need to start these conversations right away before kids get... When did you decide, and how might our listeners decide, when is a good time to jump into these topics and use the Hot Button series?
Well, if you're asking the question, it's probably time. It's earlier than we think. And if we're waiting until we see the cues from them, if they're bringing home questions and they're approaching us with some of the things they're hearing in school, they've heard and seen much more than we realize. So it's almost that you can't get there too early, because what we're doing is we're laying good foundation. We're laying the groundwork for good decision-making and giving them tactics and equipping them with the tools they need to battle peer pressure. And I don't believe we can do that too early. And it's much better to be early than to be late.
Hmm. They're certainly going to get their information from somewhere.
Absolutely. And why, as Christian parents, why don't we want it to be from us?
One of the things that you write about is that parents seem to have forgotten that they have veto power over their teens' activities, or at least if they have it, they don't use it. You know, they're trying really hard to make sure they maintain a friendship or a relational connection at the expense of producing boundaries and holding kids accountable. Can you just share a little bit about how you try to address some of that in Hot Buttons?
Yes, it's, you know, holding them accountable is a big thing, and that veto power, it's a powerful tool. I hear parents so often saying things like, oh, I wish my kids weren't dating those people, or I wish they had a different group of friends. Well, why are they dating that person, and why is that their group of friends? Why are we tossing our children out into the world and expecting them to raise themselves? When I say veto power, absolutely. Maybe your kid's old enough to date. Maybe you've decided that your 16, 17-year-old is old enough to date. But that doesn't mean she or he has the ability to choose well who they're going to date. And you have the right to jump in there and say, no, this isn't the direction I want you to go. This isn't right. I don't, you know, pray about it together and explore the options together and use that veto power.
It seems, Nicole, that something's happened. You know, again, Beth has teenagers, I have teenagers, you do. Something's happened in culture or society that our kids almost don't think they need us to approve. I mean, how did that happen? When did that happen? How do you go against the grain in an entire culture that says, I don't need my parents' permission?
Well, and that's, I really think a lot of that comes back to the busyness of our families and our lifestyles and parents taking a hands-off approach, because it takes less time. And if they have their hands off, they're not having the conversations, they're not even home when the teenagers are home, our kids are raising themselves. So why would they then turn around and show that respect and give parents the authority that they haven't even demanded or claimed for themselves?
So it seems then that an engagement between parents and kids, being present with them, is a prerequisite. So it wouldn't be the kind of thing, hey, let's pull out this book and we'll think about it together and I'm going to go about doing what I always do. There has to be some level of connectedness.
Yes, and that's what I try to do with the Hot Buttons books. There are a few chapters that just crack open the issue for the parents, why they need to talk to their kids, why they need to do it early, how those conversations need to happen, and how to get their kids to buy in and open up a new dimension of their relationship. And then we get into the actual strategic scenarios where I give them 14 or 15, depending on the book, actual hot button scenarios with the four bullet point options, with the discussion guide to follow, so they can use it almost as a script and get them started with that system of talking to their preteens and their teenagers about these issues. And then the most important part, the last three chapters, walk the parents and the teenagers, the preteens, together through the issues of confession and forgiveness and a clean slate, how to move forward from that place, wiped clean in a renewed relationship with a renewed commitment.
And what kinds of, like, will you just go through the four different editions that you have right now? And, like, what are those disturbing facts that we as parents need to be aware of that our kids are aware of? And that we can begin to generate these conversations about?
Yeah, well, the Internet Edition covers all of those things that we're scared of on the Internet, pornography and predators and chat rooms and different websites that our kids are encountering. And I covered a few of the websites, but it's going to change tomorrow. You know, there's going to be something else that's going to pop up on the horizon. So it's more about being aware. And I even give some tips on how to check up on computer history and how to keep watch. And the thing parents need to realize about the Internet is you can have software on your home computers. You can, you know, put on your parental controls and keep watch at home. But if your kids have a smartphone or if their friends have a smartphone, the minute they get on that school bus or they hit that schoolyard, they have access to the entire Internet, the entire cyber universe. So they need to be prepared to make good choices, not just have, you know, not only the boundaries to be in place, they need to make those good choices. And then the Sexuality Edition, it covers everything that, you know, we need to tell them what they're going to feel and why, so they're prepared in that moment. So a lot of kids get to that place and they say, my parents never felt this way. I promised, you know, and I committed to purity and I made that choice, but I didn't know I was going to feel like this and neither did my parents. So we need to talk to them about that and let them know, hey, I get it. I get what the body does. I understand what the mind does. This is why that happens, and this is what God says about it, and this is what we're asking of you. It's, you know, it's important. Dating is different than sexuality. Often the sexuality and all the stuff that goes with that comes before the dating. And the Dating Edition walks parents through how to make the choice of when your kids are ready and how to guide them into healthy, godly dating relationships when and if that time comes. And then the Drug Edition, things like over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs and inhalants. You know, more kids die from inhalants per use than street drugs, illicit street drugs. And parents need to be aware of that. And the kids need to be aware of those statistics, because why would they make a choice if they don't know the risk? And if we're not telling them, they're ill-equipped to go out there and make that choice.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nicole, I have an 18-year-old son. He's getting ready to go off to college. And back in the day, I was a therapist for many years, and I talked to kids about sex all the time and their parents all the time. I sat down across the table at a restaurant to talk to my son, and Beth and I talked about this on the air before, and I just didn't even, I mean, I had talked to literally dozens of kids about this, but engaging my own son was terrifying. It wasn't that I was afraid of the topic or afraid of the conversation. It was just a different kind of conversation because it was about my kid. And so I can imagine parents out there that are prepared to have this conversation in their mind, they're not afraid of it, that this kind of book would really just help them ease back. And it's about the book now instead of about this awkward conversation I'm going to have.
Absolutely.
with my son or daughter.
I tell people, blame me, blame the book. Okay, we're going to go through this now because this is what the book says. And sit down and use it as a way to broker the nerves and get past that stage. I tell my kids that, too, when they're making choices. Blame me. Tell your friends you're scared of your mother. That's fine, you know. So it's a safe way to do it. And then once you get started, obviously, conversations and relationships develop and things branch off based on personality, and you're going to have conversations that build on each other, and that's great. That's the goal. This is just a launching pad. It's just a jumping off place.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, thanks so much for being with us. I'm sure there's a ton of parents right now who are going, where do I get this? So answer that question. Where can they find the Hot Button series?
Well, all of that information is at hotbuttonsite.com, and you can actually, I post a ton of these hot button strategic scenarios, and you can walk through them for free. There's even a 30-day challenge you can take. You can check that out at hotbuttonsite.com, and there are links to buy the books as well.
Awesome. We'll also have that link on our website, so people can find it from there as well. And so, Nicole, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Thanks, Beth.
You're welcome. Have a great Saturday.
All right. Blessings to you. What a great topic right now. Again, that never gets old, and it's just great stuff for parents to have. So that would be a great thing. I mean, I can't more highly recommend it.
We got to have the conversation.
Absolutely. Well, Diane Patterson is going to join us right after the break. She is the author of Work, Love, Pray. She's going to talk a little bit about how moms can balance the needs of work and the needs of home at the same time. So don't go anywhere. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we'll be back right after this.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. Happy Saturday morning to everybody out there. Hope you're doing very well. Hey, you can visit us on our Facebook page. Please do. We give away lots of stuff on there, and we'd love to hear your comments about the show. Also, I mentioned right before the break that you can link to any of our guests and their websites and their books and all that stuff right through our website, reallifewithbethandrob.com. So if you're looking for Nicole's books that we talked about last segment, or I'm absolutely positive that you're going to want the book that we talk about right now, you can go to reallifewithbethandrob.com. figure that out. Am I right about that, Beth, or not?
I think absolutely. I've been looking forward to having Diane Patterson on for a while, so introduce her.
That's right. Diane Patterson is joining us. Man, she's a smart person. I mean, but, you know, Harvard MBA, Chief Strategy Officer at Cassidy Turley. She's on the executive boards of Fortune 500 companies. But probably more important to our show, she's a wife, mother, Christian, and has written this really cool book, Work, Love, Pray, A Practical Guide to Help Women Balance Faith, Family, and Work. And as you said, we've been looking forward to having her on the show. So, Diane, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Rob and Beth. It's a pleasure to be on.
Great.
You know, Diana, one of the things that I am a working mother, and that was what originally attracted me to your subject matter and certainly to the book and to having you on the show. But just tell, I was fascinated when I was reading a little bit about the book, that it's a book that men are picking up and pastors and mentors to understand kind of what's going on in the heart of mind of a woman who's trying to balance all the responsibilities she knows she needs to have at home with the call and gifting and education and training she has that she wants to offer to the larger world. So is it possible for a woman to be able to realize her career potential without neglecting her family?
Beth, that's a great question. It's a tough one. As you and I know, you just have to work at it every day. And as I say, that you can have it all, but you may not be able to have it all at once. So you've got to figure out different times when your work is really requiring you to put more focus there and times when your family really needs you to focus. But just having those priorities of your faith first, your family second, and your work as your calling is a great guide as you go through this challenge called balance.
You know, every women's Bible study I have ever been a part of, when it gets time to the prayer request, people, this is what they pray about. They pray about, how can I balance career and family? How can I, you know, is it really mythical? Is it possible? Is there a place where there's a space at the table for all of the things that we want to do with our days?
Well, I think that the first thing we have to do is not be hard on ourselves. And I think women, more than men, feel guilt, and God doesn't want us to feel guilt. He wants us to be filled with joy, and he wants us to use the gifts he's called us to use. And some of us have a calling that is totally at home. I just had actually one of our forward women in Portland, Oregon, one of our initial leaders, called me last night and said, Diane, you know, I've decided that I'm going to be home with my new baby, Emma. She's been in the workforce, and she's currently a professor in Portland, Oregon, in accounting. And, you know, I said, Megan, that's just awesome that you have the opportunity with Brandon to be able to be home with Emma right now. But she also realized she has wonderful gifts that God's given her in the workforce, and she knows this just may be a chapter, and then later on she may decide to go back and teach. So I think we have to not be too hard on ourselves and really pray about it and really see what the Lord has called us to do and use the gifts he's given us.
You know, in my work as a school principal, I would often see women coming back into the workforce or perhaps coming into the workforce for the first time after having children or taking care of children, just like you just talked about with your friend. What advice would you give for a stay-at-home mom or someone who's re-entering the workforce for the first time? How are they going to be able to sort of engage in that?
Well, it's really wonderful. Through our website, www.forwardwomen.org, one of our three pillars is to provide support. So, Rob, you ask about, you know, how does someone relaunch? Fortunately, about a month ago, I was reading the Wall Street Journal, and there was an article about McKinsey bringing women back into McKinsey who had left to be home with their children. And one of my classmates, Carol Fishman Cohen, was quoted three times. So we got together, and then we saw each other again 2 weeks ago at the Harvard 50th anniversary for women. And she has a book called Getting Back to on the Career Track, and she also has a group called, and it's WWI Relaunch, and she puts on seminars with her partner helping women do that. She said there's actually 2.3 million professional women in America today who are full-time stay-at-home moms who at some point in time want to get back into the workforce, and that's what they do, is really, they are experts in that area.
Wow. And what? And it's iRelaunch.
iRelaunch, yes.
Wow. Okay. So there's a great resource there.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, part of that, I imagine, is not only negotiating with getting back into the workforce. That's kind of one negotiation, like I need to negotiate with my employer, and but there's also the negotiation with your family. So there's those two kinds of conversations. How do you advise women who are balancing these things to really negotiate with their family or their employers to balance these two things that are going on?
Well, I'll share a little bit of my story. With my family, I was actually a single mom and the primary breadwinner for about 23 years of my life, and was very transparent with my family about, you know, here's our budget and here's what we have to do to meet the budget, and so we're all a part of a team and we've got to do this together. And they understood that mom needed to go to work, but they also understood that I enjoyed my work, so I didn't want them to feel like the only reason I worked was because I was trying to pay the bills, but it was also that they understood that we all have gifts, and God gave me gifts in the workforce, and I felt wonderful when I was able to use those gifts. So with my family, we had little rules like, you know, call me on my cell phone if it's an emergency, and I will always pick it up. No matter what meeting I'm in, I'm going to pick it up. If it's not an emergency, email or text me, and I'll get back to you when I can. But they also knew that I went to my employer and Trammell Crow Company, and we also sold to C.B. Richard Ellis, were wonderful to me. And I told them that with the roles I had, that a little bit like Sheryl Sandberg, I told them I needed to be home every night I was in town by 6 o'clock for dinner with my family, and I also told them that I could only travel one night a week average, and they supported me with both of those, and that did mean that there were a few opportunities that came to me that I didn't take that were enticing, but to be successful in those roles, I needed to travel more. So I think you have to just be really honest with your employer about what works to make sure that your family is your priority, and also be honest with your family and communicate with your family about what you need them to do to be a part of the team, to be able to make it all work.
I'm always telling my kids, because I am a working mother, I'm telling them that there's cost and benefit to everything in life. So there is benefit by the fact that I have a job outside of our home, and they can name all those benefits, but there's also a cost, and it would be my desire to minimize their cost and maximize their benefit, but that doesn't even make any sense. They've got to participate in the whole family structure, and that means sometimes I can't protect them from the ways it costs them.
Right, right. And you know what the amazing thing is today, Beth, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, that 72% of women with children under 18 are in the workforce now. At least 75% of those 72% are full-time.
Wow.
So we're not an anomaly.
Yeah, they're just, as you said, sort of the culture that is moving forward, and it doesn't look like it's going to turn back, and I would even argue that it shouldn't, is that moms are now having to do both of these things at the same time. Diane, we're about to come up on a break. Are you able to join us after the break just for a minute or two?
Sure.
That would be great. We're talking with Diane Patterson, who is the author of Work, Love, Pray. And if you want to know more about the book or some of the things she's involved in, Forward, that's the number four, Word, WORD.com, I think is where you can get some more of that information. So join us right after the break. We'll keep up with this conversation. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we'll be back right after this.
Who's Weaving Your Story? The Story Weaver series by Beth Guckenberger highlights the plight of orphans throughout the world in personal, heart-grabbing stories of loss, struggle, and redemption. The kind of redemption only God, the great story weaver, can accomplish. Written for ages 8 and up, Tales of the Not Forgotten and Tales of the Defended Ones reveal God's ability to create a story far greater than we can imagine. And the corresponding 6-part Leader's Guides on CD help turn each book's content into a simple yet powerful 6-week curriculum for any church or small group. Use both together and you have a 12-week curriculum full of fun activities, compelling stories, biblical teaching, and practical applications. Let God weave your story and see what He can accomplish for orphans worldwide. The Story Weaver series is published by Standard Publishing and is available at www.standardpub.com or your favorite Christian bookstore.
Welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. We hope you're having a fabulous Saturday morning wherever you happen to be today. And really glad, Beth, you know, we haven't mentioned it this week, but I'm just really glad that we have this new time slot, 10 o'clock on Saturdays on the East Coast, 7 o'clock on the West Coast. Some great feedback from West Coast listeners about, hey, I don't have to, you know, I'm actually awake at 7 o'clock when you're on. I can listen to it live instead of having to download it on iTunes or whatever. So this 10 o'clock slot is a very good thing. And a great thing for them to listen to right now is we're talking with Diane Patterson, who is the author of Work, Love, Pray, a book about a guide to help women balance faith, family, and work. And Diana, if I think that I have it right, that you had a lot of folks sort of help you put this together.
A lot of wonderful women that I had the opportunity to meet, 15 stories, and they all share different challenges that they dealt with and how they dealt with them. To be just real life examples of what we face as we go through this thing called life.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite one? Let's ask.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Do you have a favorite one of those 15 stories you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I'll tell you, the one that is most dramatic to me, and I was just with Erin last Sunday night, is Erin Botsford. She, at 16, was charged with manslaughter. And in chapter 2 of Work, Love, Pray, we share her story. But it was amazing to see how she, a trial where she was really backed against the wall because she didn't have any financial resources to fight the case. But she did find a lawyer that would take it. And in another time in her life, really, again, financially was backed against the wall. She took those two trials, and today she is named by Barron's Magazine as one of the top money managers in the United States, I think 4 years in a row. She's a, you know, strong believer, a wonderful wife, a mother, and now a grandmother.
Wow.
Erin's story is just a great example of how sometimes your trials are exactly what God gives you so you can serve others later on.
Perfect. Hey, before I let you go, how can women, men, as we mentioned at the start of the segment, how can men are actually reading the book? I guarantee I can gain a great deal of insight from reading it. Where can they find the book and get it for a good read this summer?
You can go on Amazon, or you can go to Barnes and Noble, or you can go to Zondervan and ChristianBooks.com and get Work, Love, Pray. And also, if you're interested in our content, we blog 3 times a week. You can go to www.the4wordwomen.org.
That's a lot. You can find it just about anywhere. And, again, we'll connect that to our website as well. So if you're listening to the show, you can go to Real Life with Beth and Rob, and you can connect right from there. Diane, thanks so much for being on the show, and much luck for the book and how it will help women balance the needs of work and home life.
Great. Thank you, Rob and Beth. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks,
Diane. Blessings to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Just such a timely topic. I mean, one that we both work on. You know, you're a full-time working mother. Christine at home, she's working 4 days a week. And balancing these two things, life at home and life at work, the idea that I'm called to be a mother and a wife, but also I have great gifts and passion to share those gifts. I mean, there are, as she said, 75% of women are now doing the exact same thing.
I would have never guessed that number was that high. I'm stunned by that number. I don't know why. I mean, I just think if that's true, we need to be talking more about this conversation, because you know that 75% of those women, if they are both a full-time employee and a mother, already have two full-time jobs. And that tension is, I mean, it's just, it never leaves your mind. It just never leaves your mind.
How do you do that? How do you do that at your house? How do you manage? I mean, not only are you a full-time working mom, but much like Diane and many of the women that I'm sure are listening to the show, you travel. So it's not like you go to work and you're done at 5 or 6 o'clock and you come home at night, but you're gone sometimes for 3, 4, 5 days or longer at a time. How do you do that at your house?
You know, I think one of the things that I wrestle with, and I don't have a conclusion to this question, so feel free to weigh in on it, is, you know, I kind of grew up in the James Dobson, I always used to joke, was my third parent, you know, in that world where kids need to be, I don't know if you would say the center of the world, because he certainly had a marriage-focused family structure, but, you know, kids were like, they were in the middle. They were, their needs, their wants, their emotional health, their physical health, their development, that was a priority and a principal topic of conversation in family life. And then you move to today, and we have these me-centered generation where the whole world revolves around them, and there's, you know, the pendulum has swung, and now we want kids to know they're not the center of the world, that their parents have other things going on, and they too need to have other things going on. And I, you know, I can sometimes get caught in that swing or shift between those two. Do I make them the center of my world, or do I just make them important? And do I allow them to understand that, you know, mom/dad have other things going on, and that's to be respected? I don't know. I mean, it's a tough conversation.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how the conversation has changed as I think about it. It used to be, can I do this and not feel guilty, right? Mm-hmm. Can I be a mom and work in the workplace and not feel guilty, and do both of those things all the time really well? And now the conversation is, how do I do this? Not should I necessarily very often anymore, but the conversation is, how do I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, it is. And it's happening in small settings, and women are, you know, especially faith women like myself, there aren't a lot of other Christian women talking about it because we don't want to admit to it. You know, we don't want to admit that we enjoy our job, or that we are ambitious in any way, or that we are making sacrifices in our family life in order to continue to grow in our professional life. I mean, Christian women aren't talking about it. So in that vacuum, we're listening to secular women who maybe don't share our worldview.
Right. And an interesting shift in the conversation is that I can have a Christian, biblical, Christ-centered worldview as a woman, and I can use all of my gifts and talents to serve the Lord outside of my house, that I don't have to choose one or the other.
Yeah. I think back to the second segment when we were talking to Nicole O'Dell. I mean, what you have to maintain with your kids as they grow is that connection, that engagement, that connectedness, so that you can have all the hard conversations, so you still have the voice of influence as they're making choices about the internet or drugs or dating or all the things she was talking about. And you really generally don't get that connectedness or engagement without some good time together. And that's really at the heart of the conversation is time management. And how do you, I mean, it's not necessarily balance. That's not the right word. It's more like a rhythm. And then how do you create these pockets of time and then take full advantage of them?
Yeah, I know at our house, it's one thing to read a book about it. It's one thing to think, oh, and there are certainly times at our house when that rhythm or that balance is working just fine. But perhaps 60% of the time, I don't know, maybe more than half the time, it really is just hard. I mean, it really does require that Christine and I'm sure Todd and you, and where it's working between husbands and wives, it just takes a lot of hard work to say, okay, I thought this was going to happen, and now this is going to happen. I thought you were going to do this, but now I'm going to do this. And this ongoing negotiation between spouses about how to make that, at least at my house, between Christine and I, that's how it works. I mean, it's like, I'm sorry, I can't pick up the kids because I have a deadline. Or, gosh, like even today, my daughter has a softball game that was a last-minute thing. Both of us had something else that was on our calendar to do that was work-related. So how do we begin to negotiate? And I can't lose my thing. You can't. It just is an ongoing conversation that families are having around every dinner table, going to bed at night, over the phone, whatever it is, if we can't escape it.
Well, I think
it's not as smooth as it's not just do a 1, 2, 3 and it'll all be smooth from here on out.
No, but I think the key is what you said about it's an ongoing conversation. Like, you just have to have the courage to say all the conversational points. Like, are you saying that your job is more important than my job? Or do you value what it is I'm doing? Or do you see from your perspective something that I'm blind to? Should I be saying no to this? Do you see, like, and using your spouse as your ally, not as the person who you are trying to fight for a piece of the pie from, but really using them as someone who loves you, understands what you have to offer the world, and sees from a little bit more of a distance where and how you're engaged with work and how it's intersecting with your home life. You know, not being defensive when they want to weigh in fact, inviting them to weigh in so that you can achieve that balance, because there's just no way sometimes we can see for ourselves where and how we've become out of balance.
Well, just some great stuff for people to consider this summer. Again, between our two guests today and the two topics that we talked about today, some great stuff. The hot buttons topic, and as well as women in the workforce. These are practical, information-filled ways for families to engage, especially husbands and wives, to engage in really, really meaningful conversations. So if you want connections to those two things, don't hesitate to visit our website, reallifewithbethandrob.com, or hit us up on Facebook. And, hey, who knows, if you hit us up on Facebook, we'll just send you a copy for free, maybe. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
We just might.
We just might do it.
And I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, since we like to have conversations that inspire people's day, I think one of the conversations you can have if you are a parent is, am I exercising my veto power? Am I feeling like I can weigh in on my kids' personal choices? And and how can we do that more? How can we take some of the authority that is ours to begin with and speak into our teens' life?
Two great guests next week as we sort of make the transition. The 7 Experiment, Jen Hatmaker, is going to be with us. What, man, I read the stuff about this, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, talk about challenging, interesting, and you'll just have to tune in. She took 7 things and took 7 months and did this experiment about how to simplify and de-stress. I mean, it's just a really cool story. And Craig Gentinen is going to be with us. He is the person in the Stuck documentary, which is just really powerful stuff.
Making a lot of waves, yes.
Absolutely. So they're both going to be on the show next week, so we hope you'll tune in then and listen to that. And we hope you enjoyed the show today. I mean, I did. Did you enjoy it? Beth, it's always good talking to you.
It's always good talking to you. And I was just thinking about the conversation actually is just getting started. So listeners, wherever you are, in the car, at home, get online, continue this conversation today.
That's right, absolutely. And we hope you'll do that by visiting our website, Real Life with Beth and Rob. Hit us up on Facebook. We'll be free, be giving away some free stuff if you do so. And join us next week, same time, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, and we'll start more conversations that will hopefully inspire your day. Until then, have a great week.